Access number 27248, Mr. Charles Pay, Reel 4. Now, we were going through, you know, just looking at some of the more notable voyages and experiences you had in your long time.
That was a really notable voyage, that was. I really did enjoy that. Although I suffered, the humidity was so bad that I came out in boils. I had boils everywhere. And in the end, I went down to the ship's doctor and I said, look, I've got boils on my back, boils on my front, boils on my sides. I said, I can't sleep. I must have some sleep in this temperature. And so he said, well, he said, it's going to hurt, he said, but I can help you. And so I said, well, for God's sake, help me, you know. And he took... And he said, don't ever tell anybody about this, you know. And he took carbolic acid and he dropped it on every boil. He reckoned I had over 30 boils on me. And he went to every boil and each one was cured in about half an hour. It just killed them straight. It burnt them, of course. And, God, he was marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. Nobody ever believes that. But you would think that people would, you would think the medical profession would find a way, a safe way of using carbolic acid to do that, wouldn't you? Where people get that kind of problems. Anyway, we got up to Manaus. I remembered the name of the town. We got up to Manaus, which was 1,000 miles up. And we stayed there for, about 5 or 10 days, I can't remember. Wasn't significant. And we had the time of our lives. Had the time of our lives in Manaus. Couldn't put a foot wrong. They all spoke English. And they all wanted to go to England. And it was... a very, very nice time, very nice town, very safe town. You think you're going into these places and you're going into the savage jungle sort of thing. Well, you're in savage jungle, all right, but the people aren't savages.
Any other voyages like that, that, you know, memorable?
Well, I'm confused. I can't help you because one of my ships was torpedoed. And do you know, you'd think I'd remember the name of it. You'd think I'd remember the bloody date. You'd think I'd remember every detail, wouldn't you?
Well, the war must have been long over by this time.
Oh yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. I'd missed something out. I've missed something out, definitely. I'm on the microphone. It's not right. I wish I could find my discharge book. Because all the details go in there, you see. If you're sunk, it's remarked. If you desert, it's remarked. If, you know, if everything goes in your discharge book. I'd like to know where the hell that's got to. I can't find it anywhere in the house. I've been looking for it for years.
So tell us a story about being torpedoed then.
Well, it was one of the refrigerated boats. And we were playing about on deck. And
where were you?
In the Pacific. And we were playing about on deck. And we saw the tracks. Saw a track. And we knew it was going to get us. And so we kind of spread our way out on the other side of the ship, you know. And as soon as we heard it hit, we jumped. And... everybody stayed, you know, quite a lot of them stayed behind, and released the life rafts and released the lifeboats and all that.
You knew she'd sink then?
We knew she'd sink because we were carrying 400 tons of explosives. And we knew bloody well that was where that was going to go. And that was why we were so keen to, we didn't wait for lowering boats or anything like that. We just went.
So what do you remember? What happened when the torpedo hit? You jumped.
The torpedo hit. We jumped. The torpedo exploded. And there was a sort of a... it was a very strange explosion. It was more like setting fire to petrol. It was more like a flame, a clean flame going up. But we knew damn well we were in the right place, even though there's all sorts of things in the Pacific. But
now, where did the torpedo come from? A Japanese submarine, a German submarine?
It must have been Japanese. They don't come up and give you their card, you know. They just bugger off in case anything comes at them.
So what happened next then? You're looking at this clean flame and...
Yeah.
You're in the water.
We're in the water and so are the boats. And the rafts. I got in a boat. And... have about 10 or 12 of us in the boat. And we started heading towards America. Bloody long way to go. And we were picked up the next day by a Swede ship. And they were going home. And when they got to the...
So what was it like in the open boat? Do you remember?
Well, you're too busy, really. You're not, you know, you're not taking much notice. I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. And if we'd been in the boat too long, you'd have been raw flesh, you know. You'd have been, especially with the salt.
What were you wearing?
Normal clothes.
Did you have any supplies or food or water aboard?
There was food. There is food in those days. There was food and water in the lifeboat. You had tanks shaped the same as the boat. And you had lockers shaped by the sides of the boat. So you had a little. And the Swede was, pardon me, the Swede was only about 30 hours after the occasion. We were very lucky because I was beginning to feel that I was going to be broiled because it was hot, it was calm, there was very little wind so you couldn't set sail, you know. And I thought, this is not going to be nice. We saw this boat. And he got us through the Panama Canal and bumped into a British ship heading for Britain. And so they transferred us to the British ship. Now, don't ask me what the name of that was, because I don't remember. It was one of the fort boats, you know, the Liberty ships. And... that was it.
Did it affect you at all, being sunk? I mean,
yeah, of course it does. It's terrifying. I mean, when the explosion went off, I thought we're going to get crushed, but we didn't. We didn't feel anything. It all went up instead of out in the water. You see, you're right.
So, any other things you remember from you know, post? You're obviously completely confused about, because you've got three voyages to Australia in 4 months at the moment. So, it must have started before. There must be some confusion about that. But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. Post-war, after the Amazon trip, any other big trips you remember?
Do you know, I don't remember when I packed it in. I think it was the Hillary that made me pack it in. I'm not sure. No, the last ship I was on was the Aquitania, wasn't it?
Now, what do you remember of that?
Oh, she was okay. Very pretentious.
It's a big ship, isn't it?
Big ship, yes. Very big. And another one with huge, tall funnels. But I was through with me seasickness period then.
And where did you go on the Aquitania?
Oh, just transatlantic. Just transatlantic.
And you were just a steward still? Or you know, promotion yet?
No.
So what made you decide to stop?
I think I just had enough. It was going pear-shaped, it seemed to me. It was all going pear-shaped.
In what way?
Well, in one way, on the Aquitania, all of a sudden we had a flood of ex-air raid wardens on the ship as crew. And they were ex-merchant seamen who jacked it in as soon as the war started and had gone and signed up for the ARP. And they came then snatching our jobs, and I thought, oh, I've had enough of this. And I don't like being messed about like that. I just walked off the ship.
And this would be, 1946?
I suppose so. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm sorry I can't find that discharge book.
And what was your post-war career then? What did you do? You know, what did you have that?
Mainly civil engineering.
How did you get into that?
A friend of my wife's. And I was going around the country with drilling rigs, finding out what the archaeological, sediment was and all that kind of thing, you know. And it was quite good. It was good. It was a good life.
Thank you very much.